Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
KSC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. C-Block will have to wait because Shoddy's ready to talk.
Leave it at that.
Thank you, sir.
Clarence Hill, DLS Cowboys. Have you decided who's going to start the game on against Arizona?
We have not. We'll do that, Clarence, probably tonight. Want to get through today's practice, and we'll have some of those discussions heading into tomorrow.
Regarding camp, I mean, knock on wood right here, okay?
Now, you really going to do this? You really going to do this? Yeah, I mean, you're going to do it?
It's on him.
Yeah. So far, our chin straps have been great. You know, I mean, all of our chin straps, you know, they pop a buckle every once in a while. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, come on. Yeah. You know, I mean, hey, it is what it is. Yeah.
How you manage practice as you've gone through camp, no major injuries, no. I mean, you guys have been healthy. Certainly the GPS stuff that you're doing after practice. Just talk about how you manage practice and it comes through. Because a lot of teams are having issues.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No. I'll answer the question. Again, number one, it's got nothing to do with me. It's the way these young men practice, the way they look after each other. I want to give a huge shout out to Brett Brown, Jim Maurer, Harold Nash, Braylon Tatum, his team, Kendall Said, all those guys, John Park. I think, you know, we're throwing the type of practice loads that we want. The management of the numbers has been good. The players like the schedule because the four-day cycle has been good for them. You know, they get the hard work against the Saints, and then they get the stay program yesterday, and then they get another hard work today. Today you'll see us rep the ones that get a bunch of work. The twos and threes will split the twos because of the proximity to the game. You know, we play 48, 50-something hours from now. All in all, the way we've practiced, very, very pleased, but it's really these young men and their professionalism and understanding, again, what we emphasize they give us.
Brian Todd Archer with ESPN, I know you said you've not formulated the game for who's playing and how much, but I'm assuming Barham will be in that mix of guys you want to see. What's excited you about what we've seen on practice from him? What are you hoping to see from him in the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jay Sean was good to get him some reps against New Orleans. He's working his way back. The excitement is the physicality. There was a lead play that the Saints actually ran against us, basically a lead down in the A-gap. And it was cool to see Jay Sean, you know, stick his face in there and kind of knock the guy back into the runner. Very, very talented young man and a lot of versatility. You know, he can play off the ball, can play on the ball. I have seen him smile a little bit more, which means he's excited to be back. But like I said, I think a week or so ago, he loves football, and he's very, very good at it. So it's nice to have him back along with guys like Devin Moore and all that stuff. A couple things just to note, like guys will be out today. Trigg, Bullard, still out. Limited will be Zion and Blue. And then, you know, we're going to be limit some of the older guys. Terrence Steele is going to get limited a little bit on the Tyler Smith plan, Kenny Clark, a few guys like that. But for the most part, really good day. Should be a great practice, and just being smart with some of those older guys that have played a lot of football.
And then as you're researching Christian and you're talking to other people about him, I'm sure they're telling you age isn't an issue. But in the back of the mind, did you still need to be okay? He's 33, 34. I got to figure out some things about him.
I think you always want to figure out people until you've worked with them, Todd, you know, until you've been in the foxhole or you've had disagreements and discussions where maybe you're at an impasse and you have to see how they handle when you trump them as the head coach, which is part of the deal. He'll understand that when he gets his opportunity. Not that that's happened very much, but I think you're always excited to learn him. But for every marker that I've had with Christian, I've just been blown away. I mean, I really have. And, you know, he's excellent at what he does. Age is a number. I think the trend in the league really has been for a little while, but, you know, younger is better in some regards around the league, and maybe not as much on defense as it has been on offense. But, you know, CP is he's ready for this opportunity, and, you know, he's proven that at every opportunity he's had. And like I said, it does remind me a little bit of myself when I was 32 tackling the Big Apple in New York with the Jets, and there's going to be bad days, I know that, but he won't flinch.
How did you handle those days in New York?
A lot of long hours, a lot of hard work. Tried not to get too caught up in what the outside noise was. Stick to the plan, trust your conviction, which he's very, very convicted. He knows what he wants it to look like. And lean on your staff, and I think that's something that, we feel great about, is that we've supported him with a great staff. You know, he needs to be the defensive coordinator, not just the play caller, the DB coach. You know, he's got to be the coordinator, and I think he's doing a very, very, very good job of that.
Yeah, Machado, The Athletic. Were there any positives that came out of that practice with the Saints when you look back at the tape?
Yeah, absolutely. There always is. Certainly things that you learn about certain players. There was some, matchups that we felt really good about that we liked, and you always find the positives, but there's always going to be things to correct as well.
And then with Von Miller, I know you've only been around a couple days, but when do you think he'll be able to work with practice?
He'll work a little bit today. We've been ramping him up, getting him some stuff. I mean, it won't be a lot of reps. He's in a ramp-up protocol, but I liked what I saw walking off the little talk-through we did. John, he was with Easy, talking about some different pass rush techniques and things like that. And there's a very specific plan for him that we're in the very early stages of.
Four-star Tillegram, we've seen more reps with Malik Davis and Abanaconda with the first team. How much is that the injuries in the room, but also what they did in the preseason game?
Yeah, I think they've earned it. I think when you watch those guys compete, Malik, I joke about him, his success, on certain days, but the guy is consistent. He's a good football player, and he's good on offense. He's good on special teams. He's good in pass protection. He's a good runner. He runs behind his pads. He makes positive yards. So he has not been a surprise. I've been very pleasantly surprised with Izzy. Didn't know him. We got him late last year. Big, powerful man that runs hard, good speed. You haven't even really seen his speed come to life, but he's very, very fast. He's a finisher, what you would call a finisher. If he gets space, he's hard to catch because he's fast and powerful from the lower body down. And those guys have earned, the right to get more reps with the ones.
What have you liked from Devin Moore since coming back from the injury?
Yeah, I think very, very talented young man. I think, it was good to see him get some reps in the joint against the Saints and get him matched up on an elite receiver like Olave. And, he was in really good position. I think he's still kind of getting his legs up underneath him, Nick, in terms of the power. And that's a big thing that we look for with DBs is lower body explosiveness and the ability to change direction. And he was in good phase, but just didn't necessarily have his legs under him yet. And that's all part of the process as we get him back into practice and getting more reps and becoming kind of, unlimited in his role and his reps.
Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. Brian, you said at the start of camp that you wanted this to be a very physical camp. Do you feel like you and your team met those expectations?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think, again, it's not done. It doesn't stop here, Tommy. Get great work in today and another preseason game coming up that it should be very physical. I thought the Seattle game was very physical. Go back to Frisco and, get some more work there. And, look, we'll be in pads throughout, the first couple weeks. Rio will throw a little bit of a wrench in there just because it's a little different week. And then you come back from Rio and you got, the game against Houston and a short week. But, we're far from done. I reminded the guys that today. We've loved the time out here. We need to finish today. We want to have a hell of a practice. We expect to have a hell of a practice, but training camp is not over. When we go back to Frisco, we're still in training camp mode, and we're still working training camp hours. And so we're a long way from the season opener.
And then how have you seen your offensive line respond after you said earlier in the week the first half wasn't up to what you wanted it to be?
Very dialed in, big emphasis on, pad level, combination blocks, fits of combination blocks, footwork, all the little things. When you play offensive line and you struggle early in a game, there's usually reasons for it. It's usually hat placements, pad level. I think Babe jinxed us on that one a little bit with his question last week. Are you concerned about the pad level of the offensive line? Yes. But we figured it out. And, again, hopefully this week it's better. But, again, offensive line is all about want to. But, yes, if you want to, that's cool. You need to understand what type of step to take, drop step, zone step, vertical step, and then how to strike and what landmark to hit. And it's very, very technical. Good lead-in.
Babe Walker, Cowboys Radio, 105.3 The Fan. I'm looking for membership in the Mutual Admiration Society, but I will say I think we as the media appreciate the thoughtfulness to your answers of our questions. So
thank you.
I will say that.
Thank you.
Our question today, you know, last real practice here, guys are already, you know, sometimes their minds are already back to Dallas. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What am I going to see? You have to guard against. Did you talk to them about, and I understand, training camp is still going on, but guys' minds tend to
wander. Yeah, I did. And, I'll share with you guys. I mean, we started with the logistics. We had a rookie show last night, which was cool. That was great. Langston Patterson was me. Did a fine job. He's still on the team. Yeah, he's still on the team. Yeah, Nashville forever. Then we went, did a little bowling over at the Lucky Strike video game. Brevin spawned forward, 244. Five strikes in a row for all you bowling advocates out there. We did the logistics things, babe. I mean, you know, we have to pack up trucks and we have to do all these things. So I did that first, and then I said, okay, pause. We know what it's like to throw a hell of a practice, and we need to throw a hell of a practice today. It's two-hour practice. It's padded work. It's one-on-ones. It's a lot of situational stuff, some longer drives. We need this work, and they understand that. And this is where you lean on your leadership council and the people like that. Hey, we'll get back to Dallas, but even before we get to Dallas, we got to go to Arizona. So I think they're focused and ready to go. And if they're not, then you'll hear me out there practice.
Huh? Who's the best singer?
We didn't really sing. We don't do that. They kind of put on skits, and there's no one other than Jerry that's off limits. Jerry, you're off limits if you're watching. But everyone else is fair game. So they did a nice job.
Brad. I was just challenging the pitch ball.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Terry Black's barbecue. I like it. I see it. You've already checked out, man. You're already back in Dallas, bro. I mean, jeez.
Hey, Coach. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. I posed the question to Clayton about Camden Brown. What more, if anything, do you need to see from him over these next one or two preseason games to kind of that would solidify his role on the 53? But in addition to that, what more do you want to see from those other wide receivers as you try to figure out WR4 and 5?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, Patrick. And you know, Cam's done a really, really good job. I'm very, very pleased with him. He's done it every day. But, again, I think it's a little bit cart before the horse. Jonathan Mingo's having a hell of a training camp. I mean, it's a very competitive room. Anthony Smith's a guy that hasn't played a lot of football, but he's extremely talented, very, very fast. So, you know, those guys are battling their butts off to make this football team. And I love that. But, you know, Cam doing it in practice against our guys is more important to me than I don't even know who he was going up against in Seattle. You know, I really don't. It doesn't matter. But, you know, me watching him compete and go up against Deron Bland and Revel and guys like that to me is more important. But also, you know, Mingo and Anthony Smith and MVS. I mean, I got to say this about MVS. I mean, you know, what this guy's done going into year 10 or 11 on special teams is incredible. You know, he understands the importance of how you make this football team in a very talented receiver room. It's not just being a, you know, a receiver. I got to play special teams, and he's truly jumped into that role with both feet and couldn't be more.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Pleased and proud of him for doing that.
Yeah. Any concerns about Bullitt? Because we haven't seen him in almost 2 weeks here.
Yeah, no. Again, got a second opinion. Feel really good about what we've found out. And I think you'll see him beginning to feel a lot better. And we're very optimistic as we close in at the end of training camp that you'll see him in the near future, hopefully. Maybe not early next week or late next week. But we feel really good about what we've, you know, kind of figured out.
Is it more the groin or is it the abdomen? Or is it
He's seen some specialists. But, yeah, it's that area of the abdomen and groin. I mean, it's, you know, a thing that we feel good about. Tendonitis, basically, that we're working through.
Getting back to CP. CP.
C.
sorry. Do you see him as an old soul guy that's, you know, obviously mature beyond his years?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's very mature. He's, you know, very organized. He probably wouldn't give you guys ever a dissertation on hot dogs like the other coordinator. I heard he educated you guys greatly on hot dogs, which is pretty cool. I've actually heard that story as well. But, you know, I think CP's personality is very, very driven. And he's an incredibly hard worker. Old soul fits. Old soul with fire. He's very passionate, very fiery, and you can see the players love him, and they're developing an identity and a play style that starts with him.
Yourself and him a little bit?
We're different personalities. I don't see him, you know, leading team meetings the way I would. You know, just we're a little different like that, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But I will say this, he's an incredible young coach that we're very, very fortunate to have, and he's got an extremely, extremely bright future in this business, and I'm just thrilled he's part of our family.
Based on your expectations coming into camp versus now, four or five guys that have exceeded?
Wow, good thing I have my roster. Yeah, Caleb Downs, special young player. Rashawn Gary's leadership has jumped out at me. And as a player, you guys know that. Tito, I mean, you talk about a guy that we thought we were getting maybe a, you know, run stopper. You know, this guy's a good football player, damn good football player, massive, you know, really strong with his hands. Very proud of Vaughn. I'm just going to keep ripping names. You asked for five, but I'm answering. So I'm answering, yeah, Vaughn Revel, yep. Jonathan Mingo, Camden Brown, Tyler Guyton. Javonte Williams, Ryan Flournoy. Brian Anger, however old he is. He just hit a couple 75-yard punts. But it's been a great camp, Nick. It really has. And you know, there's been a ton of guys that have stood out. And very, very pleased with how the camp's gone. Good. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Brian Schottenheimer letting you know everybody who is on the roster right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just kidding, Shotty. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, this time for real, starring Corey Major.
We'll talk a little hot dogs next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Eric Schiaffalo just got me in our war of middle fingers. Congratulations to him. We will talk with them in about 15 to 20 minutes, but right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Yeah, it is time for that, and I did not ask Alec for this audio, but I'm hoping he does have the Clayton Adams audio, because I think he said he already had it. But before we do that,
do you think we need to try to book Jeff Passan for tomorrow?
I think we should have this discussion about Jeff Passan real quick.
What's going on with him?
What is going on with him?
Breaking. The U.S. Department of Justice has launched an investigation into Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan's coverage of the L.A. Dodgers, per sources. This is according to Rob Reinhart.
Oh, I thought he was. Never mind.
He said, I'm told Passan has been aware of the Dodgers' financial fraud for years, but has failed to report it to the authorities. Now the Department of Justice is looking to file charges of misprision of a felony against Passan. I don't know what misprision is.
She
sounds like another, like a one of the Miss America losers. Sources say that a monetary payoff by the Dodgers may have been in play to keep Passan silent. That's
so it's
the kicker.
It's knowing there was a federal felony committed and failing to report it to the authorities quickly, or taking an active step to hide the crime. It feels like Passan does not think this is a crime either, because I believe he said previously that every team could do what the Dodgers were doing.
Pay him to keep quiet?
So did he actually get paid?
I don't know. I think that's what is happening here.
Then that would be pretty blatant. Hey, every team can pay off Passan.
But here's the thing. Is this the only dude reporting this?
Yeah, I've seen it picked up other places.
Okay, off of this dude?
Yeah, off of that dude. And so, I mean, it could be that they're investigating it. I just would have thought I would have seen it more places by now. But I still don't really totally understand what the fraud in question is.
Okay, somebody said Corey got ball sacked. That's a fake account. All right. Then I'll never do a breaking news story again in the history of news.
Well, I don't know if... I will say this. Is the takeaway.
I'm kind of curious, though, because it got me thinking. It got me thinking, and I asked you this because we were reporters. The amount of things we knew that we didn't report, that we were just like, well, not important,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
Or sometimes you couldn't verify it.
Are you beholden to the law to report everything?
I mean, I guess in this sense, I have to admit, I did not know what misprision was.
Yeah.
So I don't think I ever did not report a federal felony, but I have to admit I did not know that that was also a crime.
Like, there was a story that I wanted to write. I just could never get anybody to talk about it on record.
For sure.
Like, every single, and it's still to this day, it's the story about club soccer and high school soccer.
Oh my God. People would tell you so many things about this and that and the other, and you're like, all right, can you go on the record? Oh, no. Because they were afraid of reprisal. Like, if you think things are cutthroat in only some sports, man, the 14U, like, girls' soccer scene was as cutthroat as it got.
Yeah. I'm sorry for reporting the Jeff Passan story that was incorrect.
Yeah, but that does, to your point, kind of show the issue with media culture, because you know what happens is you'll be like, I saw it on this site and this site and this site, so it's got to be real. And you're like, did you look at the story on those sites? And they all emanate from the exact same person. And so I was like, it's still just one person saying this, but they're like, no, I saw it all these other places. And you're like, it's still just one guy.
Yeah. And so there we are. Now, that being said, this story, far more KNC, far more important to society.
Okay.
Than Jeff Passan. Who I do like, right? We like Jeff Passan, Alec?
Sure. Except the fact that he doesn't answer.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Answer my texts.
Okay.
All right. Well, now I don't like him.
Yeah. So, Alec, can you play the Clayton Adams audio from yesterday? Where do you have this audio?
If it's about a tube steak, I absolutely have it.
Kevin,
that
prepare
so much grosser
to be hot dogged.
Well, it's something that I'm working on here, you know, kind of in the back of my mind is, you know, how can you really have a break room or a snack room if you don't have a hot dog fridge, you know, and if you're going to have a hot dog fridge, you've got to have high quality hot dogs in it. And if you're going to have high quality hot dogs in it, we got brioche buns and maybe some pretzel buns. So these are all things that we're working on. Maybe an industrial size 7-Eleven hot dog roller. I don't know. But these are just things I roll around in the back of my mind.
Like a sponsorship deal. What'd you put on your hot dog?
You know, I'm a huge fan of just mayonnaise, mustard, and pickles. And then one of the things I learned from going to Disneyland.
Pause.
I did not see this in the quote, so I'm a little caught off guard by that. But
and also his use of the word "just" right there is fascinating. I'm a fan of just
these three things:
mayonnaise, mustard, and pickles. That feels like your hot dog's doing a lot of work. That's a lot of stuff.
Let's continue.
And then one of the things I learned from going to Disneyland with my kids, because I was trying to steam the bun, I was trying to toast the bun, and the guy at Disneyland goes, "No, man, put it in the bun and wrap it in foil and let the hot dog steam the bun." It's been revolutionary.
So there you go, Kevin. This is Clayton Adams, offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, saying, first off, in the break room, why the hell do we not have a hot dog machine or a hot dog vending machine, a hot dog something?
Okay.
Then he goes on to tell what I don't think is the truth about hot dog buns. I think the best way to do it, and somebody tweeted it to me moments ago, you toast it in a pan. You toast the inside with in a pan with beef tallow.
Oh, because he said that that idea was revolutionary. So here's a couple of things. I love this whole deal. Not just because people say things all the time.
Yes.
But he said a thing mm-hmm. and had done the thinking for it. And yeah. he's like, you don't have to agree, but here are all the reasons I think it should be a thing. So first of all, I respect that. Second of all, Alec helped me, before you played this clip, understand the concept of the hot dog fridge. Because when I first heard it, I was like, what? Because mm-hmm. I thought he just wanted a fridge for just hot dogs. And I didn't understand that at all. So that helped me jump on board with this concept. And I think he's onto something.
So
it's been revolutionary.
It has been revolutionary. I don't eat pickles on my hot dog, but I do like relish. And I prefer dill relish to sweet relish. That's just my preference.
Okay.
I'm a dill person, though. What is my dill?
You're a big dill.
Yeah. I love, yes, I do love that he put this thought into it. However, if he really wants to pull this off, who's he got to go to? Does he have to go to Steven and say, hey, can we get this done? Is it Will? Does he need to get to Dak?
Ooh, because if Dak
got
wants
Jerry's
it,
ear. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would say Steven. Also, one of the things we learned in the presser, outside of the more relevant things, that Blue will be limited today while Trigg and Bullard are out, and Bullard went to go get a second opinion, not sounding great
nope.
when you hear second opinion. But the other thing was, they said in their talent show that Jerry was off limits. I feel like if anybody in the universe of sports would understand how it works to be mocked, it would be Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but you don't want your own guys mocking. Hey, you right? Didn't he's
except
like, hey,
tough questions. He does not care.
He doesn't
that.
Want any his own guys mocking him.
Right.
I mean, that's what he said this to Sean, right?
Yeah.
Sean and RJ was like, not my own guys, though.
Do you think that was tough for him when he found out that we were not actually employed by him?
Yeah. I think the realization that we're just pals. You know, we're just pals that like to hang out and talk. Is that what you? Are you okay with that? And he's like, that's what I thought we were.
No.
But it was on my timeline.
In the moment, I did think that.
I do like crunchy bread with the hot dog. The toasted bun is the absolute way to go on a hamburger, on a hot dog. Absolutely. I mean, you can use butter if you like, but the beef tallow is definitely the way to go. Also, Kevin, we have a like 25 or something $1,000 coffee machine down there. I think it's paid for itself with most people. As many times as in broke with most people. You don't use it. But those people in sales and news, they love it, right?
Never mind.
That being said, would you much rather have a hot dog machine or a coffee machine?
Hot dog machine, 1,000,000%.
I really want that sausage, though.
Oh, man, especially if Clayton Adams is saying we need the high-level hot dogs. So if we're getting Nathan's or better hot dogs in there with a brioche bun... Oh, baby.
Somebody said you totally have to try Grillo relish. My son introduced me to Grillo pickles this year. He came home with a jar, not really a jar, it's a plastic tub kind of Grillo pickles. Now, he had the spicy ones. They weren't that spicy. That being said, dude, I ate the garlic chips out of it. Like, there's so much good stuff in that bucket. And then he said, you know what, I got to get the regular ones, brought those home. They're not as crunchy as I like. I like a good crunchy pillow, pickle,
okay.
Not a good crunchy pillow, a crunchy pickle. But I will say, some of the best flavor I've ever had in a pickle. So that's the C block. I know we could have gone in a lot of different directions, but yeah. Kevin, hot dog talk. I'll be honest too. If you go read his quote, and I think it was Mashota who put the quote out. If you read it, it sounds like AI. It sounds like Clayton Adams was saying AI words.
The hot dog fridge, it was that terminology that threw me off. But when you talk about dollar hot dog night and everything, as Alex was kind of breaking it down for me, I was like, okay, now I totally get what he's saying.
Did you ever buy a hot dog from the hot dog guy at the Rangers?
Oh, hell yeah.
You did? I don't think I ever got it.
Show me your meat.
I don't think I was ever in his section.
It's not hot dog guy. It's hot dog. Yeah, he was the best. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, We will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the impersonations from the G-Bag Nation are just absolutely tremendous right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Let's chit-chat with those fellas. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Higgy. How are you?
I am doing very well indeed. Does Brian Broaddus have the best impersonation of either Sean Sharif or anybody at this station?
I do think his Sean is probably his one seed. Always.
Lucius
can do a lot of people.
Lucius could do a really good Corey.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Talks about cinnamon grits and stuff.
Lucius got some good ones.
The way I said grits.
I love grits.
The grits.
The cinnamon grits.
Yeah.
Big fan of grits.
So Lucius would be the one seed for sure. But in terms of the broadest repertoire, I do think he's Sean Sharif. And then I'm always made happy when he does his Lee Steinberg.
Oh, the Lee Steinberg is great. My favorite is the judge in Mississippi.
Oh, that one's strong, too.
I can only imagine.
Have you guys heard the judge in Mississippi?
I don't think so.
Well, Kevin Hagelin, I'd like to say that there was a time where I was pretty famous. I'm still famous down there in Mississippi. Anytime you need any kind of ruling for our athletes, I am more than happy to step in. Matter of fact, the fine folks in Lubbock, Texas, called me for a ruling. Wanted my help in how would you manage to get your quarterback eligible. And I am super proud to say, well, it didn't work out too good for them in Lubbock, but it was very fine for us in Oxford, Mississippi.
That is absolutely tremendous, tremendous.
Do you guys think of My Cousin Vinny when he starts doing that?
The two Utes.
The two Utes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Herman Munster, right?
It was Herman Munster.
Incredible movie.
Yeah, and also, wasn't he Jed Clampett in the movie of the Beverly Hillbillies, too?
I thought that was Ernest. That was Ernest Goes to Camp.
No, I'm thinking of
Buddy Ebsen was
No, that was Ernest in the movie of it. He did another movie.
Had an Ernest poster in his bedroom growing up.
I did, yeah. Him in his vest and that green hat.
Have you seen?
He loved the vest.
Any of the Ernest movies?
Yeah,
vest guy.
Okay,
yeah,
big vest guy.
Right. I would say at least one of them.
Okay, which one?
I'm trying to remember which one it was, but
I've definitely seen Ernest Scared Stupid multiple times.
I mean, he was pretty incredible. Him and like Mr. Bean are like these two weird kind of actor.
And when you found out Mr. Bean could talk, did it kind of trip you out?
I still don't believe it.
Mm. Oh,
is Ernest Goes to Camp was the best one.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the best one. Yeah.
And he saved Christmas and went to jail.
He did save Christmas.
Yeah. There's a whole series of that stuff, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Or a fan of the Dorf series.
Dorf was fantastic.
That was Tim Conway, right?
And it was just him walking around on his knees, right? I know he made like he was a little person, but does that series still fly nowadays?
I don't think so. Unless I'm on the golf course, every round I make it a point to stand on the tee box and say I'm going to poke it out here about 250.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
So let me ask you something that we talked about yesterday. If you were in a golf grouping with people you did not know.
That happens a lot.
Oh, geez, I'm going back to the parking lot.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. We have an idea to solve this issue.
I'm out.
You're going to pretend to golf the entire time.
Oh.
So you're not actually going to golf?
The fantasy thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think it would be more fun to have an amazing fake round or the worst fake round? Would you like, right on the green.
Sorry.
It's par five. Or would you rather like smash your club against a tree? Because you're like, this stupid sand trap. And you just keep swinging. You're like, hold on. Wait. Came back down. Hold on. Wait. Would you rather have a fake amazing round? Or terrible.
You're on one side of the fairway in the trees, and you hit the other side of the fairway in the trees, and you just got to walk across. All like, oh,
they're like, this dude didn't even have a ball.
You go backwards at one point.
What's she doing? Or walk all the way up and just leave the cart, and then have to turn around. Like you're kind of looking around, like where's the cart? You have to walk all the way back to it. Yeah.
I don't know. Either one works. We just got to get mic'd up and get hidden cameras.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Get some reactions from the other three guys.
That would at least make it tolerable for you, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. Doing a bit.
Okay.
I'll probably bail after 9. But
okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. But to you, is just golfing with randos just sound like the worst?
It does. My dad, you know, he's a starter at a golf course now in his retirement.
Good gig.
Okay.
And, I mean, he likes socializing with people. So when I was there last month, he played golf and he came back to the house and I'm like, how'd it go? And because he had another friend in town, a friend that he went to college with. And I was like, did you guys play alone? And he was like, no, we picked up two strangers. He told me their entire life story.
Oh.
I'm like, Dad, how do you do that?
Really,
how are we related?
Yeah.
You know, because that sounds like misery to me.
That's your nightmare right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm yeah. never going to see these people again,
yeah.
and I got to make awkward. If I'm going to go through the process of figuring out who you are and making this conversation with you for 2, 3, 4 hours, there's got to be some sort of a chance that we're going to be buddies.
Yeah.
Does your dad think they're going to become friends?
I don't think so. No.
Oh.
I was one time.
Moment, man.
This two gentlemen, two older gentlemen, kind of hippie guys, were paired with me one time, and by like the first hole, I mean, they were not good golfers. And I'm thinking, God, this is going to be a long day. And by the second hole, the guy, like, he fired up a joint. Like, an right. old, and he's like, and he's like, hey, you want golf, some? Dude. And I'm like, oh, no, man, I'm good. But from that point on, we had more fun playing golf.
To me,
like,
great day.
Like, there were, like, swings, were the crazy swings, and, ah, geez, I hit that one bad again. I'm like, man, this is amazing. Oh, like these guys, these two hippie guys playing golf, but
just cracking up.
They were just
time.
Having fun. I mean, like I said, they knew they were bad, but I got paired with them, and I was kind of like, yeah, this is cool now. You know, they're just out here having fun. I need to stop being so damn uptight about it. You know, like, oh, they're going to ruin my golf game. Yeah. I just go out here and have fun.
A buddy of mine and I showed up, and there was one dude, and he came set to every single ball 15 times.
Oh, you
no matter what.
You can't do that.
No matter where
you
he was.
You cannot do
if
that.
We counted, it was 15, and he was like, yeah, my trainer, my pro told me I need to do this and
yeah.
this. And we were just like, hey, we're going to go ahead and play ahead, dude. You,
yeah.
you're on your own anyway, so we'll be out of your way, man.
You get, I mean, that's what golf on TV has ruined a lot of golf rounds because people feel like they have to line up every putt. I'm giving putts that are 5 feet away.
Like there's
I'm
somebody just like, yeah, scouting him for the tour
yeah.
or something. Yeah,
yeah. yeah like
you're good, man.
Like they're walking up to the hole and they're standing halfway and they're visualizing. I'm like,
oh yeah,
you're not good enough to do this.
Got
to
walk around the other side.
Yeah, walk on the other side. I'm like, seriously. And then
and then
they miss the putt.
And they oh,
stand
yeah.
you're like,
line.
Going,
they
what
smoke
the
it.
What
yeah.
the hell? You're like, stop, just stop here, but. Yeah, I'm giving putts. If it's like 5 feet. It's good. Just pick it up. We're good. Yeah, don't be messing around.
You a golfer, Wolchuk? Y'all golfing people?
No, absolutely not.
No,
yeah, no. I like to just cruise around on the course and you know drink with my buddies. But otherwise, no. I can't.
If they
tee
have
off.
Like 3-4 hole courses, I'd get in the mix a little bit.
How much of the popularity Ooh. would drop if you were not allowed to drink?
Oh my gosh,
a lot.
I think yeah. a fair share.
60%?
I think there's some people that just love it. They just love playing.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot to do. It's like a social, I'm going to get out of the house, drink, hang with my friends.
I'd say at least 30%, bare minimum.
Okay.
Would never do it again.
I had it. We were playing a tournament. A guy said they wouldn't let us buy beer at this course, but we were playing with some members. And so it was like my friend Tim Cassie, who's the recruiting coordinator at Texas A&M goes. He goes,
yeah.
if you get me a case of beer right now, we'll win this tournament. He told the guys that at the turn. He says, you get me a case of beer, we'll win this tournament.
I just need beer.
And I'm telling you what, Tim, he started hitting like Ken Venturi stroke saver shots.
Wow.
Like he's like, he goes, watch me bend this 5-wood around. And it, sure enough, man, he took that thing as far left and it hooked. It just sliced right back on the green. We did. We made an amazing rally. He told that guy, you buy me a case of beer on this back nine, and we drank every one of those beers.
Now, what is a stroke saber?
Stroke saber. Ken Venturi was a golf analysis guy for CBS, and he used to say, okay, turn your putter upside down when you're up against the collar.
Okay.
So he was always giving you these little tips on how to be a better golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like, watch me slice this 5-wood, you know, 3 fairways over and bring it back. And that's what man Tim Cassie was doing. He was hitting miraculous like Caddyshack shots.
Just needed to be about .08.
He needed to be drunk. He needed to be. All a swing needed was about a six pack after three holes, and he was ready to go.
Dialed. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. It is fun to play drinking.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, it's amazing. Who cares what the score is?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, let's go get some good shots.
Yeah, you already won.
You make dinner plans afterwards. Chinese buffet.
Chinese buffet, baby.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure gold as always, Hagee. Thanks for asking.
All right, that's all you need to know. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say hot dog in it, Kevin.
Hot dog.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.